This morning we're looking into the book of Hebrews again, chapter 11, verses 13 through 16. The message this morning is faith in the eternal promises. And we look at the temporal things in this world today, and we know that all of this will one day fade away. And I'm encouraged even more and more as I read through chapter 11 of Hebrews, how Abraham, Sarah, and Jacob, and Isaac, and all of those who followed them in this particular chapter, how they continued their journey and their pilgrimage through life, not ever really seeing the promises that God was telling them they was going to receive, because they was looking far beyond the earthly things to the heavenly things, and now they are experiencing those things, and that's what they was looking for. That's why they never stopped. They kept on moving towards their goal, as God promised them that they will have an eternal place one of these days, and now they're experiencing that. And we too will do that as well. So if you'll follow along with me, beginning with verse 13, which says, all of these died in faith. All of these. All of these means Abraham, Sarah, Jacob, Isaac, Abel, Enoch, Noah, and all of these that follow through the chapter 11. That's what it's referring to here in verse 13. All of these died in faith without receiving their promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on this earth. Are we strangers, exiles? Yeah, aliens on this? Yeah, we are. We're just passing through. This is not our eternal home, not here on this earth. Okay, now let's look at verse 14. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. There it is. See, that's what God was promising them. That's what they were looking for. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. Again, the people here in Hebrews chapter 11 lived their life by faith in these promises, the things that they couldn't see. And that's why I like to go back to Hebrews chapter 11, which I'm in, verse 1, which says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of those things that we cannot see. And they cannot see the promises, but yet they moved towards those promises that God was encouraging them that they would receive. And so they would not receive them in their lifetime, but because they lived by faith, according to what the scripture is saying here, they set an example for those who would come after them. So that's what our responsibility is as well, is to set the example for those who follow us, that they see our faith is so strong that we don't give up, we don't waver, that we keep our eyes on Jesus Christ, and we are seeking to that promise that we're going to have one of these days. Not here on this earth, but the heavenly one that the scripture talks about. So may our life of faith do the same as those who follow after us as well. So now let's look now at first part here. Living in light of God's promises. And that's what we're doing as well. They was living in light of God's promises. They was living each day in light that they would soon see what God was promising them. And they didn't stop. They didn't waver. They didn't look back. They didn't quit. They kept moving forward. And that's what we do. So in verse 13, it says that their faith directed their life even as they faced death. Yes, they were facing death, but that didn't stop them either. They didn't worry. They didn't fear. They didn't doubt, because they was going to receive God's promises. Now, when verse 13 said all these, and I just said it a few minutes ago, refers to Abraham, Isaac, Sarah, Jacob, and all the others that follow this passage. Now, these people, it said, died in faith, literally according to faith, according to their faith. And oftentimes when I do a funeral, I will often say, according to their testimony, they knew the Lord Jesus Christ. And in doing so, we have a heavenly home. So according to our testimony, according to our faith, we likewise, one of these days, will see what God has promised. Now, how did they face life and death based on an unseen reality? Do you ever think about that as you read this particular chapter? How did they face life and death based on unseen realities? I don't know if you ever think about that. I think about it often, but I like to think just like they did. You know, you keep moving forward. You don't look back. You don't turn around and go back, but you keep moving forward, and that's what they did. They could, because they had, what I say, seen them. Now, seen them, and I'll go and I'll explain this. As our passage says, they could not literally see the promises. And that's actually, if you go back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, it tells that very same thing as what verse 13 is saying. But they believed and saw through the eyes. See, through the eyes. And when I say eyes, the heart has eyes, right? We believe from the heart. And we confess with our mouth about our faith. So, by faith, they were looking for a country not of this world, according to verse 13. And they saw heavenly realities because they believed that the promises would eventually be theirs. Going back to verse 1, faith is a substance of things hoped for and evidence of those things that we don't see. So that's what they were looking towards. They lived by faith and they died what I would call with expectations and hope that would come, eventually come to them. Now, they therefore welcome, or it said greeted them. And this kind of the same scripture I refer to as in Genesis chapter 49:18, meaning the promises. They greeted them with open hearts and open minds, trusting God. And these saints embraced the vision of the faith of their hearts, realizing they were merely pilgrims and strangers here and now. Now, according to verse 14, of course, our forefathers, which is all the Old Testament believers and so forth, lives made it clear that they were seeking a higher homeland. Not here on this plane, but a higher kingdom, God's kingdom. Now, they sought, and we are seeking heaven as our eternal home. And heaven, I want you to think about this. Heaven is a place without sin. Hallelujah. You won't be tempted anymore. You won't be tempted to all the things that come to our mind or our thoughts or anything. It's a place without hate. It's a place without war. It's a place without cancer, without disease and sickness, a place without evil, a place without death. You want to read about that? Read Revelation chapter 21, and God's going to wipe away all tears. one of these days. Hallelujah. And then, think about this, on this side of it too. Our new man, our inner person, longs for heaven for a place filled with love, a place filled with peace, place filled with plenty. Everything you ever need, I'm afraid to ask for, you know, it's going to be there. Everything. A place of wonder and awe, a place filled with goodness and kindness. That's the fruit of the Spirit, right? Parts of the fruit of the Spirit. A place filled with joy. And guess what? I think Jesus be laughing with us. We'll be having a great time, wonderful time. Jesus has a sense of humor, right? He had to have. Look at us. Right. Yeah, you know, he laughs with us, not at us, but with us. Now, let's look at the second part of this, verses 15 and 16, the last two verses. Now, seeking a better homeland. That's what they were looking for. Not this temporary tent and place that we dwell here, but a heavenly home, a better home. And verse 15 provides a demonstration of their faith to the promises. These pilgrims were never attempted to return to Mesopotamia, and another name for that would be Ur. They were homesick not for an earthly land or place. They belonged to a heavenly home. And you know, if you want to read what Job thought about heaven and the things that he was yearning for and seeking, read Job chapter 19, verse 25, 26, and then also Psalms 27, 4. And Job it was longing for that. And also David talked about that in Psalms 27, 4. They did not return to the past, but focused their lives on what they could not physically see, according to verse 1. They embraced God's plan for them, even though it made them aliens and strangers here on this earth. Now, they dedicated their life to God, and they followed God. And that means, dedication means devoting myself to God. When we do that, you see, we can celebrate. That is a dedication to the Lord, and He will honor that. He will definitely honor that. So it means putting my hand to the plow, my eyes upon God of the future, and not looking back to the fallen life or the past. You don't look back. I remember my grandfather, as we used a Bill, he was a mule, and he when he bought him plows, and I'd follow along, and he'd let me take a hold of the handle, and I'd just keep looking back to see if we're going straight. He said, Mike, don't look back. You look straight. You got to stay. You got that target. You stay on that target. Don't look back, or you'll make some crooked roads. So you never look back. You look forward. I remember one of my professors in Bible college when he was talking about the calling that God places in our life, and sometimes through life, through the disappointments and hardships and the things that we go through, that we start doubting, well, was I really called? Was God really called me to be a pastor or a missionary or whatever? And Professor Hendricks said, never look back and think different than what God has already placed in your mind, and you move forward. Never look back. Don't turn back. Because if God put it there, it's real. And I've always based that on my calling. I've never looked back from that day forward. I've never looked back on my calling. And you don't look back on your calling. Whatever God has called you as a Christian to serve in the church and the things that the gifts that He has given us, we use them for His honor and glory. So one of the tragedies of life is the number of people who turn back. Just one more effort a little more praying, a little more time, a little more hoping would make a big difference if we would look at it in that way. Now, faith in God's promises honors God, and God honors those who long for Him. In verse 16 reveals this. Look at that with me. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to call them. You know, He's not ashamed to call them. He's not ashamed to call us His as well. For He has prepared a city for them. I like what John 14, verse 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it was not so, I would have told you. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. And where I am, there you may be also. You see, that's the promise. That's the promise that they was looking for. That's the promise that Jesus was giving the disciples. The promise He gives us. And every time I read that or I quote it, it gives me that hope. We know that that is our heavenly home. And God is preparing a place for each one of us, of His children. He sure is. And the Greek word translated desire is a better home. Now, that's verse 16. Okay, the Greek word for desire means try. They are yearning for, or they stretch forth their hands towards. And that's what, and guess who is there reaching out to us? Our Lord. The home they earnestly desire, better because it is heaven. It is heaven. Now the saints of the old demonstrated faith in God and His promise. They demonstrated that by the way they lived, the way they walked, the way they talked, and the way they persevered. He honored them with a city. And the city is proof of God's acceptance and favor. See, this city is what Revelation calls the New Jerusalem. In the Old Testament, Jerusalem and Zion are synonymous in the meaning. But when we talk about heaven, it's talking about the New Jerusalem in Revelation chapter 21. Peter prophesied that we have, and in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for us. Good old Peter, right? Boy, he learned the hard way, just like many of us. He always had Jesus' back, but sometimes he'd trip up or say things that the Lord had to straighten him out. But boy, he had this down. He had this down. Inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled. See, faith rests in the fact that God is in ultimate control. He will most certainly keep His promises. Now, in conclusion this morning, faith involves getting to know God and learning to trust His character. What is God's character? He's holy. He's righteous in all ways. He's perfect, all-knowing, all-powerful. And then as we consider His promises, we grow in confidence that He will make them come true, just like He promised these here in Hebrews chapter 11. See, God is faithful to His promises. He will be our God and we will be His people. See, the Scripture tells us that. So we too, therefore, should announce the opportunity and never go back from any form of fallen life, this worldly religion, or and should persist in longing for a better country, just like these. And that better country is heaven itself. So, in my last statement here this morning, may God delight in our faith as He did in their faith. As we look forward to that city Jesus Christ has prepared for us and all believers who trust in Him. That's what it's all about. Following God's plan for each one of us. See, He has a plan for each one of us. And it started from the day you was born. Do you know that? From the day you was born. You might not realize it at that moment because you was young. You didn't know anything. You didn't know what sin was. You didn't know anything unless you was hungry and you need a diaper change or something like that when we were small. But as we grew and we understood and started going to church and we being taught God's word, then we began to learn in our hearts and our lives that God is real and He had a plan for us. And as a tender-hearted child, we trust. We trust our lives with someone much greater than us. And when we hear the word Jesus, you know, and we sing about it, Jesus loves me, this I know. And talk about the Bible, then we know that God has a plan for each one of us. And we stay on that plan. We stay on the direction that God is pointing each one of us in. And the more we're in the Word of God, the more we pray, and more we can communicate with Him. See, our faith will grow, and we can be added to the list here that all of those died with faith. And you know what? It takes faith to die. I've talked to so many, many people over my lifetime in ministry and so forth. But at the end, when God shows them things that we can't understand or see, but we know that they see His glory, then the faith takes over at that moment. Isn't that wonderful? That God places chapters in like this to encourage us, to help us to stay on our journey and not turn back, but always looking forward. That pleases God. Let us pray. Our Father God, we praise Your holy name. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for chapters like chapter 11. It gives us insight of those who traveled and walked upon this earth just like we do. And Lord, they had faith. They didn't waver. They was always looking for the promises. And that's what we are to do. So may we settle in our hearts and our mind today if we have any worries or fears or doubts about the future. We can rest assured that You're in charge of everything. You're always in charge. You're always working out the good for everyone called according to Your will and purpose who love You. Lord, we ask You to bless this invitation, our final song this day. Any revisions in our lives or any decisions we need to make, now is the time to do it. And that pleases You. Let You know we mean business with our lives. That we're sincere from our heart in our surrender and our yielding of our lives to You, but not wavering anyway. Thank You, Lord, for this day, this service. For each one here, those listening to our service, that Lord, this is the season that we celebrate Jesus' birth. Even though it was over 2,000 years ago, it's like it was yesterday. It's still real and alive and fresh in our hearts and our mind. And thank you, Lord, for the sacrificial death on Calvary. You paid the price for our sin. The wages were high, and we couldn't pay them, but you did. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.